Welcome to the Thanksgiving week edition of One Morning I'm Going Home and Going to Bed. Dustin Vargo here with Josh Jones, recording this installment on Monday, November the 25th. Went back and forth with the drinks, but we settled on Coronas.
Yeah, traditional Thanksgiving drink.
Yeah. Turkey, dressing, mashed potatoes,
Corona.
And Corona.
That's right. I mean, who doesn't have a Corona for Thanksgiving? You got the cranberry sauce, Corona.
Yeah.
Goes hand in hand.
They go hand in hand.
Like no, people, we're doing it because we're calling the teams in Mexico. Cancun.
So we're drinking Coronas. I looked up some Thanksgiving mixed drinks.
Yeah, I read those. I was like, that's too much work.
I was getting tired looking at all the ingredients.
I didn't wear any pumpkin.
Well, I sent that to you on Sunday, and I'm thinking, if I buy all that shit and start making it now, I might have it ready by Monday
night. I was told to ask, I was like, what are you all, white women? What are your pumpkin drinks?
Yeah. Well, that was all that came up. I was like, yeah. I don't think they sell pumpkin vodka at the liquor store around here.
I don't know, man. They got all kinds of flavored vodka. It's ridiculous. Yep. It really is ridiculous.
I didn't
even know. And there ain't that much flavor into it. No. I don't think so.
No. So we settled on the Coronas, and
that's a good call. We haven't had a Corona in a while.
No, I haven't either. But the weekend it was. I guess we'll start with basketball. I actually went. I guess you could call it a half a day Friday, and met Lacey over.
You took a half a day of something.
Yeah, I did. I went over to the Dish in Beaver, and had drinks with my buddy Lacey Layton, who we mentioned her before. I'm not really sure how I would introduce her. I was thinking about this, and I was joking with her about it. She is the current wife of the husband of my former fiancé, who also had a child.
Is this Utah?
Yeah. No, this is like, if it sounds like an episode of Jerry Springer, that's because it's an episode of Jerry Springer. She is still legally married to the guy who is engaged to my former fiance. So
yeah, good times.
So have that.
Yeah.
Chew on that for a little while. That is morality personified right there, ladies and gentlemen. But I digress. So I was over there with her for, probably 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, because I texted you. I was like, because she posted a Facebook picture of you guys up there. And I was like, did you have a good lunch? You were like, still here.
Mm-hmm. Lunch has turned into dinner. We ate lunch.
No, you need to get up from that stool. You haven't heard.
We were at a high top. Get a Charlie horse.
No, I was thinking no shit. Anyway, I can't think of it.
But yeah, we ate, and then we kept drinking, kept talking. You know, and time gets away from me. And then the waitress came back over. She's like, "You guys anything else?" I was like, "Maybe a dinner menu. I don't know."
He got overnight rates?
Yeah.
I think they were. Is there a drink by an hour special?
I think they were a little concerned about her because the lady that came over, she was like, are you okay? And she was like, yeah, I'm good. You know, I'm like, what? And then she left, and Lacey looked at me and she said, do we not seem okay? I was like, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good. But so we made it through shift change. So I made my way back here and just watched the game here, but
the ass whooping.
Yeah, man, we got it on right now. We put it on Boston.
Yeah, and you know what? And Boston beat South Carolina. They're not bad. There was a thing on I think it was on Three Guys Before the Game. They listened to the podcast today, and somebody had flown down to Cancun had to be on the same plane with Boston's team, mm-hmm. and happened to sit next to the coach.
He was impressed with us,
and he said. He said, they got a storm brewing in Morgantown. He said, that's the longest, most physical team that we have faced.
Really?
And he said that, and that includes South Carolina. And he said, that's last year and everything. He said, that team right there could do things.
Yeah. Well, it was the first game, and it's 4 games in. That was the first game that Oscar and Derek both had double figures.
Right.
And Oscar was a, there he is scoring right
well,
there.
Well, he should play Friday nights every week.
No kidding.
I mean, Friday nights is the way to go, apparently, yeah, man. Yeah. That doesn't play the rest of the week, but Friday night, there you go.
21-10. Culver had 10. Haley had 13. Matthews had a good game, which was encouraging because we won by 25 points and shot 2 of 18 from three.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We didn't make
a three in the second
and
half.
And not only,
and they were bad misses.
They were bad, and they were wide open too. I mean, it wasn't like they were bad threes or rush threes. They were step into step in through threes, and we missed a bit. And our best shooters.
Yeah, we were missing them long,
too. Yeah, exactly. I told you, you were like, who's missing the worst, McNeil or Sherman? And I was like, I don't know, if their target is the back end of the backboard, the back corner of the backboard, yeah. I think McNeil's got Sherman by just a hair.
We got to grade it on a scale.
Good Lord, man.
They did. Other than that, that was, like I said, the first game all year when they both had double figures. But we forced 22 turnovers and only committed 10.
We're only giving up 60 points a game.
And that's including the 84 we gave up to Akron. So right. If you throw that out, it's like 50. We're like eighth in the country in scoring.
As much as there's still moments that I think we don't guard the 3-point line very well, but this team is 1,000 times better than last year's team defensively. Oh, 1,000 times better.
Without a doubt.
I mean, of course, it couldn't be worse.
No, we had no place to go but up. Yeah. But I guess you could always go sideways. But and then we saw the debut of Gabe Osaboyan. Yeah. He's going to be more of a defensive rebounding kind of guy.
Yeah, he's not going to be a numbers guy. He's not going to play a lot of numbers. But like they said when they said that he was eligible, that he's just going to be the guy that just makes plays. Mm-hmm. He's going to get his hands. He's going to lead the team in deflections. And he did, like, he got right in the bat and made a deflection out of bounds. Right on the sideline.
He did.
He's just going to be a disruptor. So, but I think we need to mention, though, you said Haley had double digits. Is he our best player right now?
It's funny.
They're most consistent.
They had a thread on Rivals yesterday and was talking about how if there was 20 seconds to go and we needed somebody to take the shot, who would you pick? And at this point, I mean, I'd probably say Haley. And not even so much from a jump shot standpoint, but just for being able to get to the basket and make a play.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And I don't know if I would have him take the shot, but I would have the ball in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to let him, because he's a matchup nightmare. Hold on, let's take a pause here for a second.
All right, that was fun.
That was hilarious. That's first ever pause in the middle first of our ever conversation.
Yeah. I forgot I had ordered some Camp Masters gourmet caramel popcorn from one of the neighbor children, and it just came in.
And
today.
Your life is better for it.
I am, yeah. I'm gonna put this down so I'm not distracted.
Yeah, I'm sure the neighbor children was happy to come here and look in the window and see two guys drinking on the couch.
It's like, oh, what am I gonna
do? 5:30 in the afternoon.
This is like a fundraiser for charity. The sun's not even all the way down. We're in here pounding beers. Yeah, that's a good message to send to the youth. All right, where the hell were we?
We were talking about Haley, and I thought about it. It was going to actually be I thought about being on my sports question. Is there our best or most consistent player right now? I think he's the most consistent right now. They said he's averaging something like 13 points and like 6 to 8 rebounds over his last 15 games with that for WVU.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, he's a mismatch, really on both ends of the floor because I mean he can guard 1 through 4, and he can play multiple. I mean, he can handle the point if you need him to. He can play 2. He can play 3. He can play stretch 4. I mean, he's versatile if you can keep him on the court and out of foul trouble. Right. But he has been consistent. You know, and I think him, and I think up until now, I think Matthews. I don't think he actually gotten double figures in this game.
No, he didn't.
But he has been a consistent player.
Yeah, he's been consistent for us.
Shooting and rebounding, and his half court defense has gotten much better too. I think
that dunk off the miss.
That was nice.
That was nice. That was
nice. Yeah, that looked like you at the Catholic school rebounding one of Eric Smedley's misses.
No, I didn't. I lined you up, and if you were in the way, I was dunking on you. It was as simple as that. I wasn't worried about misses.
not you shooting.
Oh, no. I don't know about that.
You cleaning up a miss. we seem to flow better on offense when McCabe's on the floor.
I don't understand why he doesn't play more, honestly. I think, did we have this conversation on the air last time about it seems
we
to
did,
be like but McBride
quick,
has
quick
a lot more leeway
than and you know, McBride really, and it's, let me back up and I'm very happy with where we are right now.
Yeah.
Especially compared to where we were last year. But as much as McBride was hyped up after that first game, and as much as he really played in the first 2 or 3 games, his production has tapered off, and he looks a little bit more like a freshman right now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now that being said, I think Huggins' plan is to get him in the game and let him cut their teeth, and I get all that. But we just seem to be so much more efficient. Yeah. Especially to have, I don't know, it seems like we move the ball better. Guys know where to go. Maybe that's Harler. Maybe it's not McCabe. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm so tired of Jay Jacobs kissing his ass. It's just, it's unbelievable to me. But anyway, that's a whole other story. I agree with McCabe. And I think we do, our offense is way better when he's on. And I think McBride has a hard time getting us into the flow of offense because, like you said, he's a freshman. But it will come. He is on your face defender. I mean, he stole that one inbounds pass. I mean, but he still gives up his straight line drives.
He does.
And he's obviously better than McCabe defending. There's no doubt. But I do think we're a better overall team than McCabe is in.
I do too.
But because I think McCabe's defense has gone a little better. It's still not great.
No, but he's gotten better.
But this year we have people in the back end who can help.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that's a big difference.
Well, we're long too. I mean, when he's on the floor, what the starters are.
It's just a matter of time before we play some sort of zone with our length. Because we could be a Syracuse-esque zone with how long we are in all positions.
Pretty long. Yeah. It's exciting. It's a lot more exciting than it was this time last year.
Yeah, to piggyback that, did you see the text that Swinging sent out today where Joe Lenardi has first four, you know, the first four in without the bye? If we are on the bubble, I will literally eat my hat. It won't be my favorite hat, but I will get a fork and a knife and I will eat it as long as we don't have any injuries.
We're not going to be on the bubble.
I will eat my hat.
Because really, to tell you the truth, other than Ohio State, which I didn't realize they were 10th. They're 10th in the country.
Oh, yeah, they're good, too. Their guards are really good.
And Missouri's not bad. But even if you stuck, we've got Missouri at home. There's no reason why we should, at worst, just drop one out-of-conference game.
Yeah.
So that's 12.
And like Huggins said, that Northern Colorado team we played last week, they're going to win a lot of games. Boston University is going to win a lot of games. Oh, they're going to help our RPI and not hurt it.
And when we go down to Cancun, we're there now. We play Northern Iowa tomorrow. They're undefeated.
Yeah.
And then we play the winner of the Wichita-South Carolina game, and Wichita's undefeated.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to – I just do not – and I predict us to win both of those games. So I don't see how, unless just something could – it's just catastrophic happens, that we are on the bubble.
No, I don't either.
I just don't see how.
No, I don't either. So,
especially now we got four deep on our front line.
We
can throw bodies at you now. Left and right. We don't have to worry about foul trouble. We can be very physical. And a team this long that can be physical, look out.
Yeah, that's going to be a dangerous combination. So it is officially basketball season. But
football season basically ended on Saturday.
Yeah, so speaking of that, we dropped a tough one, 20-13.
It was a culmination of the season.
Yeah,
we played hard. We were in the game, just could not find a way to pull it out.
No, it really was a game we should have won.
Should have won. That's what they said on the really. And we talk about Baylor, we talk about Texas. Well, we should have won that.
We should have won.
We were better. We were better than Oklahoma State.
And I hate it. And you and I talked a little bit about it. I hated it for the defense, especially because I mean you hold Oklahoma State to 200 yards under their average. You hold the best runner in the country. I think he had 106 yards rushing. As a team, they were under 100 yards.
Yeah.
Now, he did have 88 yards receiving, but a lot of that was on that one play on the first or second drive.
Yeah, he basically had two big catches.
And they were like one of the top 5 or 10 teams in the country in explosive 20-yard-plus plays.
Yeah.
And we had more than they did.
Yeah, we actually had our best as our offense sucked. We had more yards than they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the killer. We had more yards than they did.
Third down conversions were pretty much even. Time of possession was pretty much even. First downs was pretty much even. I think penalties was pretty much even. We just, I mean, and I think they only averaged two or three yards, maybe less than 3 yards of rush, but we averaged 1.2, and you just can't win doing that.
And it came down, you know, we had four trips in the red zone or inside the 30, and we came away with two field goals.
Yeah.
And you can't, when you can't run, it's hard to score in those
because
it's hard for any quarterback. The windows get tighter. You can't stretch the field as much as wide receivers. You got to be able to run at least have the threat of running in the red zone, and we have none of that.
And it was never more personified than on the drive when Sam James, who he scored, that was
he scored a touchdown. That's a bullshit call.
That was a touchdown.
Yeah. I can't believe they called it. I thought they ruled it a touchdown. Mm. I cannot believe they called him down.
Nah.
I mean, in live action, it looked like he scored. Yeah. I cannot believe they called him down.
And then I thought, well, maybe his shin was down. His shin was never down. I mean, I don't know how the hell he did it, but he never – I mean, it got right to the line, and then his leg hit the ground. But then you get the ball, and you got two tries to get 6 inches, and we couldn't do it.
Now, Brown said he thought.
So did Daggy. Daggy thought he scored both times.
Yeah, but they said it didn't. But it don't matter. I mean, and honestly, I thought those were two bad play calls because what's a weakness on offense?
Interior line.
Our interior line, and we ran two quarterback sneaks.
Yeah,
I'd rather ran some sort of sweep with Wheaton. Yeah. I think we'd had a better chance of scoring than a quarterback sneak. But, you know, it's neither here nor there.
Then third down, we had Daggy got his hand hit when he was trying to throw.
Yeah.
He could have very easily. I went back and rewatched that game yesterday. I mean, other than that play, I think on the one, he had Campbell had two drops at least. T.J. Yeah, Simmons had a drop.
He had two drops on the same drive.
The pass into the end zone, which I thought could have been called interference. I mean, it was a jump ball basically. But the one where the burnt completely whiffed and Deggy got drilled. Whiffed. He had Campbell down the seam.
I mean, that's an 80-yard touchdown. I mean, it's an 80-yard touchdown, and that defender runs right in between our guard and center, and literally, you just needed to give Burt a red cape,
yeah.
And he could just said, "Olay, just go on by." That was so bad.
I mean, if he just tells him a dirty joke or something, if he just chips him,
yeah, exactly, just knocks him off his path.
That's a touchdown. I mean, that's a touchdown. And I mean, and then those last two in the last drive when we, they blitzed and they brought the house on fourth down, which I don't blame them. But yeah, I mean, it's frustrating because I think that was definitely a game we could have won.
Yeah. Looking ahead to next year, our offensive line is obviously the weak part of the team. Overall, the weakest part of the team is the offensive line. You're losing. Your best part of your offensive line is the outside. Those are the two people. So you're returning the interior, which is the worst part of your line.
But we do get Josh Sills back, too.
We do get Sills back. They brought this up on the pod, and I didn't. I was like, I don't know. How do you get better next year? The offensive line.
Bring in a JUCO.
Yeah, but even JUCOs, their first year never do. They always struggle too. I just don't know. Can you get a top-notch starter from JUCO?
Well, we had Glenn.
Or graduate transfer.
We had Glowinski a year or two ago, or a couple years back.
But that's our only hope.
The only other thing is, and somebody brought this up too, is arguably the most important guy in the offseason is going to be Mike Joseph. Getting those guys stronger. Because I think the interior line, because you're playing Gmitter, you're playing Bryson Mays, and even Burt. Of course, Burt really doesn't have an excuse. He's been in the program 3 years.
Yeah.
They just got to get stronger.
They got to do something. They can't move anybody off the ball. They said that's one of the hardest things to do is move people off the ball, and we have nobody outside of McKivitz who can do that.
The only other thing that you can hope is some of these young guys that they're redshirting are big enough and strong enough. They just don't have the reps and don't have the maturity. I don't know. I mean,
unless there's marked improvement at the offensive line, the offense is going to be that much better next year.
They need to get better. I mean, yeah.
It's all going to come down to the offensive line until they get better. I don't care who you have at quarterback. I don't care who you have dynamic players. You have a wide receiver. Who you have a running back. Unless that line gets better.
That's the funny part, though, if you think about it, is as bad as our line plays, in my opinion, if Deggie plays, we win the Baylor game. I think we win the Texas game, too, because Kendall had four turnovers in that game. As bad as they've played, we are close to winning seven games this year. We're not that far away.
Maybe. I also think that he holds on the ball a little bit longer, he's gonna get knocked out of the game.
He had two bad plays, but I don't think there's any question we'd beat Baylor. And like I said, I do think we'd beat Texas. Well, Texas Tech was what it was. The other thing too I like about him, he's played 2.5 games, he hasn't turned the ball over.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
And Kendall had 11.
He is a check down king, though.
He had 11. Well, with when you don't have time, what are you going to do?
Yeah. That's true. I think he's afraid to throw the ball in the middle sometimes. I think he'd rather check. If his first receiver's not open, instead of going through progression, he immediately goes down to the check down.
He does. But when he does throw it, I mean, he's got touch and he's got accuracy and he's got velocity. And I think
he does. I'm just worried about keeping him. If we don't get better offensive line, he's not going to make it through a full year next year.
He does have a little bit of mobility, which is good. But yeah, I mean, our line's definitely going to have to get better.
It's going to get better.
Of course, obviously, we're not going to a bowl game now. And I didn't realize this, and they mentioned this, and then I started going back and thinking. This is the first time that I can remember in the modern era, and this includes the year we went 3-8 with Rich, that we didn't win a conference game at home.
Holy shit, yeah, think about that.
Because the year we went 3-8, we beat Rutgers,
80-7. Yeah.
And then Neyland's Bulger's senior year, we went 4-7, but we beat the shit out of Pittsburgh at home.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I can't remember. It has to be at least 30 or 40 years since we didn't win a league game at home.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a telling.
And they made a big deal about that this week leading up to we're going to perform better at home. And they did. They played hard. I mean, I'm not upset about their effort. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the offensive line played hard. They're just not very good.
Yeah.
And just simple as that. We're just not very good.
Yeah, we got a ways to go.
Love the defense, though.
Stills brothers have 14 sacks this year.
I'm telling you, the defensive improvement has been amazing because I did not think our defense would be very good this year. Bailey, I thought, has played very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we've had the results on defense have been fantastic.
When you look at not only what we had coming back, not only with the fact that you're playing in the Big 12, which is arguably the most offensive, explosive conference there is, you couple that with the injuries and the youth that we have had.
Exactly.
And, I mean, you talk about K.J. Martin, Tyke Smith, all these guys that are freshmen that are playing significant minutes. I mean, I think Vic Koning's done a hell of a job.
I think he should be – if we'd have a better record, he'd be up for a coordinator of the year.
Yeah. I mean, easily. I mean, he's done an amazing –
yeah,
amazing.
I like our defense. I like the way we play. So I mean, I have no complaints. We've had a couple crappy games with defense, but overall, the defense has been spectacular.
You've seen, and I think to compare and contrast the offense and the defense, I think defensively, I think I've seen improvement and consistency, and especially on the offensive line, we haven't seen that all year.
No, not at all.
We just haven't.
Not at all.
We haven't, and it's a little bit disconcerting going into next year, but. I trust Brown, so we'll see.
I do too. Trust the clown. It depends on how are we going. Is it going to be a vertical climb, or is it going to be a horizontal climb? Because it all depends on the offensive line.
It does.
How much they improve.
It does. Yep. All right, man. You want to take a break? And we'll hit the second segment here.
Sounds good. Welcome back to One More, and I'm going home and going to bed. We're here on a nice Monday evening for us. Early week, early game.
Early game, yeah.
Yeah. What's your Thanksgiving plans?
We're going to do Thanksgiving at Mom and Dad's on Wednesday night.
Right.
And then, of course, Wednesday day, we do the stuff down at the Lewis Center. And then.
Wait, what happens if West Virginia plays at 6 or 8:30 on Wednesday night?
They're going to play at 8:30. We're not losing the early game.
Okay.
Yeah, we're eating at 5. I dictated the time. Come on, this ain't my first rodeo, man. How's your plans with the family for the holidays? It's all centered around WVU sports.
That's the way it used to be. Basically, we played football on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of dictated about what time West Virginia was playing and where they
were. Yeah, it was
playing.
Funny. I texted Lainey, Garrett's wife, and I said, I don't know what your plans are. I said, but if you're in, you know, we'd love to have you come eat with us. And she's like, awesome. What time? I was like, probably about 5:15, because if WVU wins Tuesday, they're playing at 8:30, and I want to make sure we have enough time to eat, visit, and get home. He's like, awesome. Hey, I am who I am.
Exactly right.
They know the deal.
Are you going to be sitting here Friday putting up Christmas lights before
No,
before
the hell game? No. Hell no. I got to coordinate my strategy and figure out exactly what I'm going to do. All right,
Clark.
Yeah, this is not I don't fly by the seat of my pants with that shit.
Now you're going to have drawings.
Yeah,
like,
I got
light here.
I've already got blueprints and everything. I got to figure out the wattage of each outlet. It's very labor intensive, man. If you're going to deck the fucking halls, you better know what you're doing.
Am I on the same grid as you? Or am I going to lose power?
I don't know, but I'm going to have somebody come check, because I think one or two of these outside outlets, when Jana wanted me to put up Halloween lights, they weren't working. We're going to have to rectify that shit. Because I know exactly, when you do those icicle lights, I know exactly how many you can put before you plug it in. When I lived on Horizon, I had about 5 strands on the same one, and I plugged it, whoosh, and it all went out. I was like, shit. And then when one set goes out, you got to individually check the few of each one. You're like, oh, man. And at that point in time, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and spend $7 on another set, because I'm not checking all these
things. Yeah, exactly. Same here. I'm just going to buy another set.
I've learned that as I've matured. Well, matured from a Christmas light standpoint. That may be the only level of maturity
I've reached. Yeah, I think you might have regressed there for a while.
That's debatable. So we got a new commitment last night. Jackie Matthews.
Yeah. The Alpo's tweet was hilarious.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So he's the... He's a JUCO corner out of Mississippi Community College. Pretty good size, 6 foot, 195 mm-hmm. pounds. He's our 14th commit, and hell, early signing period's 2 weeks away, 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see who all signs.
And he's actually T.J. Simmons' cousin.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I did not know that.
Yep. So
that's good because we're going to need some corners. Like I said, I think Bailey's paid pretty well. Washington's been solid.
I think Fortune's going to be okay. He got some clock this year.
Yeah, I just don't know if he looks more like a body of a safety.
Nick maybe Torrey Fortune does.
Yeah, but maybe he'll be better next year. But I think he struggled this year.
Well, and the kid from that committed to LSU that we thought was going to help us never did. He got hurt. Dre'Shawn Miller.
Yeah.
So you got him. You got Tay Mayo, Jamal Dye's nephew.
Yeah.
Who had to sit out this year. So hopefully there's potential at the cornerback position next year. So we'll see how that goes. I did want to mention this. Martinsburg won 70-0 against Spring Mills. So in two playoff games, it's 154-0.
That's ridiculous. Honestly, that's 154-0. That is crazy.
And then I tell you what, if
did he run one 12 plays this time?
I don't know. Do you really think it matters, Eddie? Fairmont Senior plays Bluefield Friday. Did you see what Garrett Green did, the quarterback commit that we got for
I saw he came to visit Zach Frazier.
He was on an official visit to Morgantown, and he left early and stopped in Fairmont to watch what hopefully will be the guy playing center for him when he's a quarterback at WVU, which I thought that was pretty awesome.
I like him already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope he pans out.
He's not – size-wise, you're kind of and he's like 6 foot, 200 pounds. But apparently he's a gamer, man.
He is. Got a lot of arm. Yeah, absolutely.
And apparently he's a hell of an athlete. He can run, yeah. So I thought that was a pretty cool story, man, to see that. It's nice to see those kids bonding before they even make it to Morgantown.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And guys like that who will sell the program to other recruits, too, which is good. Because we still got a bunch of kids from Bluefield we're looking at. I guess three or four of them were at the game at the game Saturday, too. So.
Oof, they picked a bad one to go to because there was nobody in the stands.
Yeah. It was
when they announced 46, that is not good.
Well, the lower bowls were pretty much full. Upper, on the problem is, on the press box side, that they always the camera's always pointing the other way, that's where all the student section is.
Yeah.
So it's completely empty, which you kind of figured that. Yeah, I kind of thought maybe there. Well, and the other thing, too, is the weather kind of changed because it was 70% chance of rain.
Yeah,
and
it didn't rain. It held off for the evening. Yeah.
So that probably played a little bit of a role into it. But we got TCU on Black Friday. They're 5-6 on the year, 3-5 in the league, which means they are playing for their postseason lives.
Usually, the team once more than likely is going to win.
Yeah.
And here's what bothers me the most about that game is I think it was Cooning today. Said that he'll probably be the best offensive line they face all year.
Did you see how big their guys are?
And if that's the case, we're in trouble. Because our strength is our defensive line. And if they against Texas Tech, we couldn't do anything. That was the other best offensive line.
They got two 6'8 guys, a 6'7 guy. I mean, they got some big boys.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's going to be like last week when I said we're not going to have enough offensive firepower to overcome it. Nah, I'm worried about this. I think they're going to hold the ball too forever.
And Gary Patterson's a great coach.
Yeah, exactly. They always are schemed well defensively, and it doesn't take much to scheme well against our offense. So,
no.
I mean, I hate to be Debbie Downer. I think we can win. Last week I thought we could win too, but this week's offense just shows me that I just don't know how we overcome offense deficiencies in the interior line. I just don't.
It's going to be interesting. We're 1-2 in Fort Worth. We beat them there in 2013 in overtime, and we're 3-4 against them since we joined the Big 12. Of course, the other thing too is we beat the ever living shit out of them last year.
Yeah,
I mean it was
yeah, brutal. We did.
So they're going to be
and
you factor in the and there's two sides to the coin. Okay, number one, TCU has got a lot on the line to get to a bowl game, and with us losing last week, we know we're not going to a bowl game.
Exactly, we're
going
to lose.
So, what's our mindset going to be? Right. Are we going to have guys that say, "Well, season's over"? I watched an interview with Colton McKivitz before we started. I guess he did it today, and he basically said he wasn't sure if we went to a bowl game, he was going to play anyway. So that whole argument comes into play. So you wonder where the mindset of these kids are. But with us having so many young guys, especially on defense, I think they'll come out and I think they'll play hard. But it's going to be a tall task.
Yeah, one thing I'm not worried about is us playing hard. I think that's one thing that this team has done consistently is play. Even when we got our asses kicked by Texas Tech, we played hard in the second half. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about playing hard. I just don't know if we have.
We're gonna play well.
Yeah, we just don't have. Yeah, exactly. I don't think we're gonna play well. I mean, just our offense is just that bad. I mean, it's just there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We only gave up 20 points to Oklahoma State and couldn't win that game. I mean, we only gave up 20 points. And they're an average defense at best.
And we didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, they're an average defense at best.
We didn't turn the ball
over. So, I mean, if TCU's is a little bit above average, and if their offensive line is if they play well, our strength of our defense is our defensive line. If we can't cause havoc, then our defense is going to struggle.
Yeah.
Just like against Texas Tech.
So. And they probably will. But, yeah. You know, they average 32 points a game. They only give up 27. They average almost 5 yards a carry. They give up 4 yards a carry, but that doesn't matter.
They don't matter because us. Cut that in half.
Max Dugan's their quarterback. He's got 15 touchdowns and 8 picks. They got that Jalen Rigger, I think is his name. He's their return guy and a receiver. Mm-hmm. He can fly.
Yeah.
So he's as good as any receiver in the Big 12 that we'll face. So it's going to be a tall task. But
it is. I think nothing's out of the realm of possibility. I just don't see it happening.
Nah, I don't either. We're 12.5-point dogs. Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it'd be more than that.
Yeah, TCU hasn't really been, you know, eye-popping this year either. They've kind of struggled too, so that sounds about right. I think we're going to lose by more than that, honestly.
Yeah.
They just could be like, not that much more than that. I was thinking 27-13.
I was thinking 31-20.
Okay.
I think we'll sit on it. We average about 20 points all year. I think a defense will play well enough, but I think just like they were talking about listening to Vic Cunning today, he said basically those last two drives Oklahoma State, we were just gassed.
Yeah, you could tell.
We're just gassed.
I mean, we were just worn out. I mean, what do you do? You're just worn out.
And I think it'll probably be the same thing. I think we'll play hard and compete, and then eventually we'll just – our lack of depth and our youth.
Yeah.
And
I don't think it's going to be Texas Tech. I don't think they're going to come out and kick our ass in the first quarter and it's over in 30 minutes. But I think it's going to be – it'll be a grind it out first half, and then they'll just pull away in the second half. They'll score a couple touchdowns, and we won't be able to respond, and they'll be over.
And I think really, I mean, I was going back and looking. I mean, other than really the Missouri game, I think every game we've played on the road, we've started pretty well.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, even Oklahoma, we were down 28-14, but I mean, hell, looking at the rosters, you'd thought we'd have been down by about 4 or 5.
And we caught Oklahoma when they were playing their best. They have not played their best since then, but we caught them when they were playing their best. And we still held her.
Yeah.
We held her own.
Yeah, we held her own. So. We battled. I like the direction we're going. Like I said, it's going to take some time. So, that's all I got for segment two. You got anything else you want to hit on? You want to hit the home stretch
here? Let's hit the home stretch here.
All right. Welcome back to One More. I'm going home and going to bed. We'll hit the last segment here with 4 questions and 2 assholes. Thanksgiving edition.
Yeah, that sounds good. My questions are heavy Thanksgiving related.
Okay.
Well, I actually have a number of questions. I got to decide what I'm going to choose from. So, what is sports first?
What is this, the SAT? What am I doing? I got a bunch of questions here I got to answer.
Well, we could go all night, won't we? I got a lot of questions here.
Just a deposition?
So, it is Thanksgiving. What's your best Thanksgiving sports memory? Does that need West Virginia related? It doesn't have to be on Thanksgiving. It could be the Thanksgiving weekend. What's your best Thanksgiving sports memory?
Best or most memorable?
Either one.
Because I didn't get to go to the Pat White game when we beat Pitt in the Frozen Tundra game.
That game was so cold.
I was in month 11 of trying to mend fences. So
that's when Pennington got that, no.
No, that was a Pitt game in 03. That's when that's when Dave Wunstead said we got to run faster at the halftime.
Yeah. Who made that catch in the?
That was John Pennington. That was two years before that.
Okay.
Yeah, but we.
That's right. We run faster.
We got to run faster. Yeah, that game was cold. But it would, I mean, WVU related.
It doesn't necessarily have to be.
It's not a good memory, but it's would have to be the year before. When you and I left on Thanksgiving, I can't remember if we left Thanksgiving. I think we left Thanksgiving morning, drove up to Morgantown, had Thanksgiving dinner with Phil and Lori.
Yep.
And then drove to Pittsburgh on Thanksgiving and went to the WVU Pitt game at Heinz Field. And we ended up losing.
Yeah.
Because back they didn't have replay, and that guy from Pitt trapped the ball at midfield. That was terrible. And then we drove back. Did we drive back at night?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I had to work at Garfield's at 11 o'clock in the morning the next day.
Yeah.
That's probably the one that sticks out of my head as far as one I was intricately involved in.
I remember we played, it was when I was in college, and it goes out of West Virginia lore. When Chad Johnson hit Zach Abraham for that long touchdown. That was Thanksgiving weekend. I can't remember if it was on Thanksgiving Day or not. But I remember my friend Brendan Burton from Jersey and Sean Moore came in and spent the weekend with me. Because they didn't want to go back to New Jersey for Thanksgiving. So they came home with me. And I remember that day playing football out in the yard because it was gorgeous. It was like it was great weather. And then he hit that pass, and he was just running around. Yeah.
That was a hell of a play.
Going nuts, man. That was crazy.
That was a hell of a play, man.
Well, that's one of my Thanksgiving Day memories. And I remember one year me and Phil went up, and it was icy as hell. And we went past the bridge over at Flatwoods, and we hit an ice patch and went right in the middle.
Yeah, you told that story.
That was Thanksgiving weekend too.
Yeah.
So those are the two like sports kind of memories that I have for Thanksgiving weekend. I remember one year I didn't come home for Thanksgiving, and Nunu sent me a package of food.
I'm shocked. I can't believe it.
What's your sports question?
My sports question has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. All right, so we've transitioned from Daggy to Kendall, and we're pretty excited about Oscar and Culver and what could potentially be there. What do you think is more likely scenario next fall? That Kendall's on the roster, or both Culver and Shwebwe are on the basketball roster?
I think it's both Culver and Shwebwe on the basketball roster for this point alone, because Shwebwe is going to be a player. Culver, I'm more worried about this Shwebwe because they talked about this on some sports show I listened to this week. It's a WWE sports show. But Shwebwe, they're going to tell him he needs to work on his outside shot because he doesn't have any. He can barely pass.
He can't pass.
From the top of the key, much less shoot it. So they're going to tell him he's got to work on his outside shot. So he's going to come back next year because he's not a lottery pick where he is right now. So he's going to. It's all about Culver's head, man.
Well, and there's a couple. I don't know what public course you got to put in context that there was actually a publication last year that had Lamont West as the 15th.
You're right.
But you just got to wonder if kind of like Sags, if he gets the wrong person in his ear.
That's a good point.
And he thinks he's.
But he doesn't seem that way. To me,
he's got knucklehead potential.
Are you talking about Culver or
Culver?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was talking about Shoeboy. Yeah, I'm more worried about Culver leaving, even though Shrewsbury's a better player.
We're still actively recruiting a fourth player for next year's class. Yeah. And the only people that are leaving are Rout, Harler, and Haley. So if we're still actively recruiting somebody,
he's playing with somebody.
Somebody's not going to be here.
It might be Brandon Knapper, though, at this point in time.
I don't know. He's gotten better.
He has gotten better. No, don't get me wrong. I think he'll probably want
to
go someplace.
I just think it seems to me to be an easy pick to say Kendall's not going to be here. And if I was him, because
he's not, in fact, if we made it a bowl game, there's no way in hell he's here.
He looked pissed
on the sidelines. That's putting it lightly.
At the Kansas State game.
And even Neil Brown said he's
not happy.
He's not, and I don't blame him.
I don't either.
I mean, he came here, and from what they talked about on Sportsline, he can still, he's a graduate, he still can graduate transfer and play immediately.
I don't wish him any ill will, but I mean, he had his chance.
He got stuck in some bads. We have the worst offensive line in history, but and I think Daggy. I don't think Daggy's that much better than Kendall. I think he throws a better ball, but I don't think it's that much better. But he's definitely better, and you got to play the better player.
Yeah, I think he's noticeably better. I don't think he's a Heisman candidate, but I think he's noticeable. But I think Kendall would be a serviceable backup, and I think he's played hard. I do.
The question is, do you think him and Lowe are both gone? Why would Lowe stick around? If you're Lowe, why would you stick around?
So we're only have two scholarship quarterbacks?
Yeah, Cole's Daggy's got two more years. It's not like he just has 1 year and he's gone. He's got two more years.
So you're saying you're going to see Trent Jackson next year a little bit?
I'm just saying, they might be making that transfer portal again for a quarterback. Right.
Yeah. Speaking of, we didn't mention this, but it sounds like Quantrell Reigns is leaving, too.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out what he's going to do. He's not playing.
If there's doubt, there's no doubt.
Exactly. And he's been surpassed by Martin and Tyke Smith anyway. So, I feel bad for him because he's kind of switched positions. They moved him all over the place.
They said they thought he would hopefully grow into a linebacker.
Yeah, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I would prefer him staying because he's a talented kid. But, you know, it is what it is. If he wants to transfer, he wants to transfer. But the amount of people we're losing is ridiculous. We're
losing a lot.
Yeah. Or we already lost, so. Anyway, what was your question again?
I said, what's more likely? Kendall is on the roster.
I don't think there's any way in hell.
Both Sheboy and Culver.
I don't think there's any way in hell Kendall's back next year. No way in hell. I just don't see.
That's a badass dunk.
Right, I just don't see how in the hell he's back. If he's not guaranteed playing time, I don't see how he's back. So I just don't see. So I'm putting my faith that Culver comes back. That's more likely than Kendall being.
I'm hoping Kendall's not back and those two are back.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you get those two back and you got Isaiah Cottrell coming in.
Well, it's a Final 14.
Yeah.
That's a Final 14.
With the shooters that we didn't show up Friday.
No.
But, I mean, it's there.
It's a Final 14 next year.
There's potential there.
It is a Final 14 next year. If everybody comes back, you're supposed to come back, and the recruits that we have, it's a Final 14 next year.
I agree.
All right, non-sports. Let it fly.
Easy.
All
right. Are you going Black Friday shopping?
Hell no.
Okay, that's a good answer.
I have never gone Black Friday shopping.
All right, that's all I want to know. I just wanted to make sure.
I don't want to deal with that. Plus, the review plays. Mm-hmm. I plan on getting up, drinking, and then watching the review game.
Really? You're going to get up and drink?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
It's Friday.
I had no idea.
I got no job.
I ain't got shit to do.
I'm going to get up. I might fix a Bloody Mary. I'm going to sit around all day and wait for the W game to start.
Look at Chase Harler with the steal. He's active. Active.
Nobody wants to hear your call. He's active. On the active. W game.
Active. No.
Do you go Black? Have you ever been Black?
Hell no, and hell no. You got to remember, I worked in the mall for 8 years.
Oh.
And I had to be in there in a restaurant. I had to be in there at 6 o'clock in the morning when all these people. And let me tell you something. I am not that concerned about saving $10 on a fucking toaster to arm wrestle a lady that's 73 years old. I don't care. Sorry.
I am a much bigger Cyber Monday deal. I order most of my shit online anymore. I don't go to the store.
Too.
Yeah, I don't even deal with that shit.
I'll tell you who else is a big fan of ordering online? My daughter.
So you got shit delivered all the time.
Well, yeah,
I came here last week and brought your package.
Oh, I took her. We went to the post office when we had the post office gate as it came to be known. And Tony comes up and he's like, "Hey, stop ordering stuff online." Talking to Jane. Yeah. She'll get money and put it in her account, and then I'm tied to her account. And then I'll get an email that says, "You have a low balance alert." I'm like, "JJ, what'd you order?" She's like, "Oh, T-shirt and some other stuff."
She's gonna be Christmas shopping fiend here coming up.
Hell on wheels, buddy. So no, that's a correct answer. No Black Friday shopping.
All right, so now we're talking about our best Thanksgiving memory. For Thanksgiving.
You want my worst one? Because that was the same one.
No, I was going to say your favorite Thanksgiving story, but I'm gonna go with this one. What's the best and worst Thanksgiving food? And why?
Best and worst Thanksgiving food.
Yeah.
I love sweet potatoes.
Yeah, you're a big sweet potato casserole kind of guy.
Casserole guy.
I love.
With the marshmallows.
I'm not a big dessert guy.
I don't eat dessert.
So I saved that for last. It's kind of like my dessert on my plate.
My dessert usually is in a 12-ounce bottle. sweet potato casserole is a must. You got to have that.
All right, so that's your favorite. All right.
What I don't like?
I'll tell you mine.
This is going to be sacrilegious. Some people probably don't do this. I'm not a deviled egg guy.
You're out. Get out.
Not a deviled
Get
egg.
Get out. Are you kidding me?
I'm not a deviled egg.
I can
egg
eat
guy.
Those things by the gallon and then gas it up the next day. But
if Matt Chips is driving down the road right now, he just wrecked. That's like his go-to. I'm not a deviled egg guy.
Tash makes this spicy pickled deviled eggs were delicious. But, oh man, I can't believe you don't like deviled eggs.
No deviled egg.
I'm going to bring you a whole platter of them.
I'm going to eat them. I'll feed them to the dog.
I actually prefer the ham over the turkey. I love a big piece of ham. That's my favorite. And yeah, it's better the next day when you make ham sandwiches.
Oh, that's the best. The best part about Thanksgiving
is not
the
Thanksgiving. It's the next day. After a turkey sandwich, you take a big chunk.
Oh, shit. Toasted bread. Put the salt and pepper. I mean, you can put mustard and cheese on it if you want, but you don't have to. Reheating the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, man.
And then my worst is cranberry. I don't understand how anybody likes cranberry.
I'm not a big cranberry.
I don't like the looks of it. I don't like the taste of it. I don't understand why anybody likes cranberry on anything.
No.
The sweet I want is a sweet potato.
Yeah.
Now, I will eat a pumpkin pie, because I do like, but I prefer the pecan pie.
Really?
Oh, yeah, much better than
much better than pumpkin pie.
Much better than pumpkin pie. But as long as the pumpkin pie has whipped cream on it, I'll eat it. I don't like
it. Well, you put whipped cream on anything.
And we almost had pumpkin vodka.
We did, but we didn't.
Instead of drinking Corona.
Instead of drinking Corona.
All right, so enjoy your Thanksgiving Wednesday. So what are you going to do Thanksgiving Day?
That's a good question. I don't know. I might go over to Mom and Dad's. I don't know. We'll, like I said, Wednesday we'll do the thing at the Lowe's Center where we pack lunches and stuff for the needy. And then...
Yeah, it's going to be like, hey, why does this guy smell like beer? Like, because the View played last night.
That's right. And let's see, there's no college. There's, of course, the Lions play, the Cowboys play. I don't think there's a college. I think the Egg Bowl's at 7:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably be over here.
You watch Rich Rod. They have apparently they have a thing where they just want to show the videos of Rich Rod and the coordinator because he's so animated.
Yeah.
If you notice that, whenever they show a Mississippi game, it's kind of annoying, actually.
Good for him. What are you doing on Thanksgiving?
Oh, eating. Well, apparently Tasha's dad's come to spend the night with us Wednesday night.
So I'll see you Wednesday.
Yeah, probably. I'll come over for the game. And then so we'll deal with that in the morning. And then we're going to Tony and Teresa's at 12:30. Then my dad's at 4. So I'll be a glutton and full by about 6:00.
That's one thing. It was hell when Garrett was first born. He had 9 grandparents living.
Yeah,
counting great grandparents. I ate. Most people, what was it, 2,000 calories a day? Yeah. I had 2,000 calories before 11 o'clock. God damn. It was like the scene from the Jim Carrey Grinch when he's in the chair of cheer and they're feeding him all that shit. And he's like, yeah, that's how I felt. I felt like that some bit.
I'm already going to 2 and I don't feel that way on Thursday, so.
You're lucky, sir.
Alrighty, man. Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
One more and I'm going home, going to bed.
One more and I'm going home, going to bed.